The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Happy Christmas Eve. It's B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell.
Toby, you're in the Christmas spirit. You got that sweater on, huh?
I was wearing the Redskins Santa hat yesterday, too.
Oh, boy.
We got to get rolling, man. Yeah. Christmas is tomorrow. It's crazy, by the way. I was thinking about this. I can't believe it's already Christmas. If you know, the football season's just two more games left in the regular season.
Yeah.
It's crazy we're there. But at the same point, Tampa feels like a year and a half ago.
It does. I mean, this thing flew by. Like, that little saying that time flies when you're having fun, time has flown this year.
It's been fun.
I can remember being in Tampa before the game. We out there playing golf. Then we get to the game, and I'm like, oh, man, we let one slide because we made too many mistakes. And we're sitting at 10-5 right now with two games
left. It's crazy.
I mean, this thing flew by. But you know what? I'm happy. I'm a happy old camper right now with this team. Kind of afraid I made this little weird-ass bet at the beginning of the season. But
well, I think that's the thing. I heard the Junks talking about, like, what's your Christmas wish? I think for this program, you got to get one more win. That's the wish, right? I mean, landfill, it's one more win. I don't care if it's against Atlanta. I don't care if it's against Dallas. One more win to get to 11 wins.
Well, I don't think they really care about the 11 wins. They just care about I got to put on a tutu.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what we care about. Man, we got to see B. Mitch in the tutu.
I've had more people starting to send me this, like, little Photoshops on Instagram, and then I got my buddy sent one. Yeah, I'm going to show you this, Toby. It's going to trip you out. It's a little troubling. And I think my friend Mark Wimbush, he's troubling. This is the – look at this tutu ballerina look like they a weightlifter, right?
At least you got some tone there on the arms.
Now, too much damn tone. Jeff, you got, look at this.
That's fantastic, by the way. That's great.
Oh, yeah. You definitely, you got to do a dance in that tutu, bro. You got to dance around.
Hey, man,
tequila,
listen.
Sombrero.
I'm probably going to find me something probably before the game this weekend. I'm just going to bring it in my bag. And I have to do the show after the game in it. If they get the win this week.
Oh, that's lit.
I love it.
You know, hey, I'm going to make a Command Center post-game live go viral on your ass. I'm going to find a way to get some more money out of this thing if I'm going to put that damn tutu on.
Must watch TV.
Have you decided on a color tutu, or are you just going to go with whatever you first see?
Hey, man, I'm going to have to match up. Burgundy and gold, baby.
There you go.
I was about to say, it got to be burgundy.
Yeah, I'm not wearing no pink.
Yeah, it got it
right now.
I'm good with any color, honestly. I'm good with whatever B. Mitch chooses.
You know what? It's like you talk about stuff seeming so long ago. Actually, that was so long ago when I said that, I had forgotten I said it. And these two little bastards right here, they made sure.
Oh, they're not going to forget.
You remember what you said? I'm like, I didn't say that.
Listen, Jeff ain't going to remember much. He'll remember that.
He doesn't remember much. He don't keep everything in track. But I guarantee you he has the damn audio of that.
He keeps the stuff he needs, right? The necessary stuff.
Man.
Necessities only, baby. Necessities only.
Necessities only, absolutely. It's a bit of a treacherous drive in today with some of that sleet and
yeah,
whatever on the roads. Luckily, we all made it in here safe. We're all good to go. Last night, though, Monday Night Football, we were talking a little pre-show. The Saints are terrible.
They're bad.
It's funny, too, because like guys that you could depend on, guys that you feel really good about, like DeMario Davis, Chris Brooks is breaking a tackle when he's got him wrapped up. Like Josh Jacobs looks like he was running against high schoolers last night.
Yeah.
It was wild to watch how bad they looked.
When you get in situations where they don't trust Rattler, they know a lot of other people. They in the locker room with those guys every day. And I know people would say, oh, no, we're still fighting. No damn way possible. I can remember back in the day, and this is no stretch of the truth. This is 100%. We might have played Arizona, like the last game of the season. There were people in their parking lot, the players' parking lot, there were U-Hauls on the back of the damn trucks. They were ready to go.
ready to roll.
There's no way that they could be telling me they're caring about the game when you already have packed up to move after the game. You know, and that happens sometimes. People pack it up. If you don't have the proper leadership in your locker room, you're not going to be able to finish up a game strong. Like, you know, people always say, man, finish strong. Human beings, it's hard for you to really push when you know there's nothing waiting on the other side.
What was the worst team you played on record wise?
Oh man, 3-13.
3-13?
Yeah.
What was that like down the stretch?
Oh, I was trying to be the guy that said, man, we gotta fight through this. And I there were guys probably looking at me like, this fool out of his damn mind, man. I'm trying to get this damn season over with. But you know, you push it because I had Monty Coleman like that, always pushing us. No matter if you had a good record, bad record, he was always thinking ahead, what you need to be doing next. And I tried to emulate what he was as I went through my career. I had people basically giving me the one finger salute, like, man, to hell with that. You know, you getting paid. They like you. I'm going to probably be going, I'm not doing anything else. They try to stay healthy for the next season.
What's harder, going into the game, or is it the week of practice where you're like, I don't want to be out here?
You know, practice is way tougher than games. Games, you always feel you're out there putting your stuff on display for others that may like you. You know, you get to a point where I always tell people, you know, don't just read the writing on the wall. Understand what the hell it says. So some people read it and they understand it and they know I have to impress somebody else. So when the game comes and you got the camera on, you want to get it done. Practice sometimes, that's the most tedious stuff in the world. And you don't want to, you damn sure don't want to be out there, especially when it gets to this time of the year.
Yeah, no kidding.
And let's be real, there was no such thing as bubbles back in the days. So you were outside in this crap
the
time.
And by the way, I'm sure they weren't light practices like they are nowadays.
Nah,
they
were still hitting. We didn't have these walkthroughs. It was a difference. But, you know, you understand it. But I had some people tell me some stuff. And Buffalo, Detroit, Philly also. And that's when they went on that 10-game winning streak. Detroit does it. They've been doing it for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
When you watch them on Hard Knocks, they were actually going at it.
Yeah, that viral clip of Dan Campbell basically saying, look, man, if there was another way, I'd do it. Yeah. But this is the best way.
But think about it. You get 10 to 14 full padded practices. And there are people that finish the season and have practices left.
Yeah.
How is that possible in a game of pro football, tackle football?
I mean,
people always say, oh, man, you know, they just trying to protect the players, man. You don't understand. I did this for 14 years in a barbaric state, barbaric age, and I did not run around tackles and all that crap. If you're going to play this game and be very good at it, you better be able to go through with practice like you're going to play it, because I know people say you could just hit a light switch. No, you can't. If you don't practice a certain way, it's going to be hard to carry on the whole season that way.
Well, it's like what I was talking with Doc before the season. The best way to get better at football,
play football,
is playing football.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, if you're going to try to water it down, you're not necessarily going to get better. You might be able to work through some processes, but as soon as you get hit in the mouth, it's totally different.
See, I know rules, and like my little saying is always, the rules have been changed to protect players. I understand. But you know who better protects players? Players. You know, if you go on the field thinking they can't hit me here, they can't hit me there, you're about to get hurt. If you go on the field and say, you know what, I have taken my body through stuff in the offseason to where I know what I can do this season, then you rarely ever have a problem.
You know what I mean?
Well, and you get some of these guys, you know, I love watching Patrick Mahomes. Josh mm-hmm. Allen's falling into this a little bit now, too, where they start exaggerating stuff. Patrick Mahomes loves doing that thing where he runs to the last second of the sideline. The defender pulls up. Then he runs up the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
Blast him one time.
Listen to me, dude. And that's what I say. The league, yes. If you're going to try and protect the quarterbacks and protect certain offensive players, you need to protect the defensive player, too. Like the other day, who was a kid came into the game? Pickett.
Yeah.
And he slid, like last second.
Mm-hmm.
They picked the flag up. I applaud the league for that. If you are a quarterback, slide, be deliberate, and let the person know you're going down, you're giving up your body. And then if they hit you, I am on the side of the, you got to protect him. But if he waits till the absolute last second when you already have committed to hitting him, then he slides, no problem. Whatever. Dude, you should have slid before. That's just like if I were back catching a punt and you're where you at in our fair catch and you hit me, you're in trouble. But if I wait till you get right here, then decide to put my hand up late, that's my fault.
Yeah.
You know, and they would do it like that. They would call late fair catch. Same thing with these quarterbacks sliding. And Pat is exceptional at it. I did it in high school and college. I'll be running to the sideline, slowing up. You slow, I'm cutting back on you.
Heck, Pickett, remember at Pitt when he was still in college, did the fake slide, stayed up, kept running?
Kept going, yeah.
So that's why dude.
I would hit him and just say, hey, you saw what he did in college. I didn't want it to happen.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, we talked about this before the season with Jaden. I think he's got that, right? He understands if I'm going to slide. He slides, and he slides early enough. He started to do the thing that some of the people were talking about when Trevor Lawrence, where he kind of rolls and goes forward. You still really can't hit the quarterback in that sort of state.
See, this is what people forget. At one point, if you went head first, you get all the distance. When you go feet first, you usually get it right where you started. In this day and age of football, if you start to do the roll, you get the ball where you start. So you watch – Jaden has come in and he did the roll, and they come back and they put it where he initiated the go down. But if the player is going to hit him farther down the field, then that player should be getting the penalty.
Correct.
You know, because if the player's giving his body up, you're gonna bring the ball back to that spot, you gotta protect him in that sense.
Yeah, and I appreciate that there's a little more common sense. Remember a couple years ago, Washington was playing Green Bay at Lambeau and Heinicke dove. And they ruled him down at the one because his knee hit.
Oh, yeah.
That's no common sense. At least there's some common sense that you're giving yourself up going forward. You're not getting the extra yardage of rolling. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, heck, you know what would happen. Like, Josh Allen would do that and roll and then get up and keep running again. So I appreciate that they're doing that because, you know, they talked about this with Lawrence. When you at least kind of curl up into a ball and go forward.
He slid late now.
He definitely slid late, but you're vulnerable there.
Yeah, but that's the thing about it. Don't do it. What they're trying to get every piece of every inch of it and try to fool the defensive player, but then you don't have any responsibility yourself. I've always felt I had to protect me more than the referee is going to protect me and more than the rules are going to protect me. And if I sit out there and try to do something to deceive somebody, then I'm putting myself at risk. And listen, I know people are always like, oh, man, this is a violent sport. Okay, if you want to play flag football, go play flag football. But if you get on that field, you're going to get hit by somebody.
Well, and that's also going back to Sunday. That's why I don't feel bad for Philly losing Jalen Hurts. If you run the quarterback, there's an inherent risk.
Hey, bro, everybody gets hit. And this is a sport where I don't care what position you play. If you play it long enough, there's 100% injury happens in this league. So if you play it long enough, you will get hit. Kicker, punter, whatever. You know, and like people go, well, what? It's a part of the game. People get hurt. And if you build a roster without having legitimate backups, that's your problem.
Well, and I mean, look how Jaden got hurt. It's an innocent way, long run. Talked about.
He was trying to go down.
Trying to protect
himself. He was trying to slide, and the dude was too close.
So it happens, and that's why, you know. Philly, whatever. WIP can continue to worry about the excuses. Looking at the other side of last night's game, Green Bay.
How buddy them called me from Philly.
How legit do you think Green Bay is? Like, do you think that, you know, you look at the teams at the top right now. You've got Detroit at the top, Philly's two. They're probably going to finish as the two seed. You've got Minnesota as the 5 seed. They're 13-2 as well. They could end up
passing
Detroit.
That's not a 5 seed right there.
But
that's a problem for somebody.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
13-2?
Yes.
How legit are the Packers? Like, if they stay as the 6 seed, they would face, I believe right now, either the Falcons or the Rams.
Let's be real, man. That team has now a running back that is the type of guy who gives you problems late in the season.
Yeah.
Because a bigger running back, lower to the ground, bruising type of guy, when it gets cold, that's a problem to tackle. And then they have a legitimate receiving core. Little kid Wicks from Plaquemine, Louisiana. Just so I throw that out there. You know, that was a little New Orleans dance last night he was doing on them. He scored and then put their own dance on them. But they had, and Jordan Love, hell, the Packers, you think about it. Brett Favre, Rodgers, him. They don't miss when it comes to quarterbacks.
Unbelievable.
But ultimately, when you have a quarterback like him and a running back, people forget their defense is not bad. You know, and the thing about them late in the season, just like when they went down to Dallas last year, late in the season, you want physicality. They bring that. You know, LaFleur was, everybody talking about LaFleur, the Shanahan and all that, like he's like Sean McVay, them. That dude's teams are physical.
Yeah.
And I think the teams that are the most physical down the stretch this time of the year are the ones that can probably win more games.
Well, and the reason I think you're seeing a little bit better version, maybe not wins and losses wise, but maybe more of a threat in some ways of this team versus when Rodgers was there, is they are able to play more physical. Because you think of where Matt LaFleur came as an offensive coordinator. He was in Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's as physical as you get when you've totally. Got Derrick Henry back there. Yeah. You just hand the ball off to him 25 mm-hmm. times a game. So I think going on from Aaron Jones, who's a really good running back, but he's someone that you kind of limit his touches because he's smaller. You go to Jacobs.
Aaron
kind of
looks like a tweener in a sense. He's like a guy who can run the ball, but he seems more like a receiver. Like you just watch his running style, his whole body style. But when you are running a football with Josh, there comes a point in time when you go, you know what? My guy's better than your guys. And I'm going to just come down here and see if you want to keep hitting them. You know, that's the mindset that they could do. But they also have that dude sitting back there, Jordan Love, who will pick you apart if you don't put the pressure on him.
Well, and he's such an interesting guy because mm-hmm. he can throw some terrible picks, but he can also make some throws that not many dudes in the league can make.
See,
and he kills me all the time watching him beam Mitch because every single throw, it looks like he's fading away, and yet he's still got the arm strength to drive it down the field.
See, the thing I like about him is, like, you know, like you said, he'll throw a terrible pick, but he'll throw an unbelievable pass. He takes chances. He gives his guys chances. Like, what's my man, Watkins, didn't score for me last night, bastard. but him, dude, is what, 6'4", 6'3"?
Mm-hmm.
He'll throw it to him when people are around him, and he'll go get it. And that's the thing that people had against Kirk, where Kirk wasn't going to take the chance. You know, he won't throw the interception. If you are a guy who gives your guys opportunities, you're going to throw some interceptions sometime. But you got to keep giving them opportunities. And when a receiver sees a quarterback giving them opportunities, they're going to make those plays most times.
Well, and by the way, if it doesn't show how good of a general manager they have, because I was critical when I was there, I was wrong. Their receiving core is making nothing. Christian Watson's a pick, still on a rookie contract, Jaden Reed. But the other thing that they have that Washington is missing right now is Tucker Kraft, their tight end,
mm-hmm.
is an animal. He's great in the blocking game, but you get him the ball and just let him work after the catch.
But they have multiple,
that's what they're missing.
They have multiple receivers. Like, if Washington had gotten the output that they got in the last game from their receivers, just think about it. Crowder, 2 touchdowns. Zacchaeus, 2 touchdowns. Terry is doing what he's doing every week. If they had gotten more output like that every game, what would the record be now?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Green Bay gets. Those guys are not making big dollars. They're not big names, but they have output coming from their receiving core all the time, not just one guy.
We got Barstool Nate coming up at 11. AJ Perez from Front Office Sports joining us at 12:30 to talk about the RFK site. Next, Chris Long was talking about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. We'll hear from him next. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.